comment. I'd like to say good evening to KK4FTU, Mr. Richard. And he's normally over there in Slaptown. I don't know where he is tonight, but thanks for coming in there and checking in with us there, Richard. Other comment, go ahead.
West Katy 2BG. I don't know what, this is a funny sort of problem. Now, you got to remember, too, with alternating currents, there's always the subject of phase. Is it possible with a welder, since you have inductors and you have capacitors, is it possible you have two things that are in phase or out of phase, and it makes it look like you're drawing more amps than you are? That's the only thing that I can think of is, you know, consider the fact that alternating current has a phase relationship. Inductors and, capacitors change that phase relationship. Inductors lag it by 90 degrees, and capacitors lead it by 90 degrees. So maybe it's something in one of those things.
I don't know, Glenn. I got some things I need to take care of tomorrow. But there's a diagnostic program on the logic board for it, and it passes diagnostic. Everything works like it's supposed to. I try to keep an eye on things like that. I kind of let this one get away from me. It got some wires pretty hot, but I'm trying to pull too much amperage too far. But I caught it, and now that's got me questioning everything. So I moved everything closer to the breaker box, so, you know, cut down on my span, and I haven't had any problems with it. I mean, it welds, which is the best machine I've ever welded with, but I just having a hard time with ghost amperage. And the other thing, too, let me hang on. Meters that Duke Power puts on the side of the building, they don't have the little wheels. So I said, well, that's, you know, no problem. If it ghost amperage, I'll just, you know, go out there and see how fast the wheel is spinning, and then I'll come in here and turn the machine on, and then see if the machine is spinning faster, then, you know, nothing too ghost. You know, he's fibbing to me. But it's all digital, of course, and it's nothing you can, I mean, can't see anything other than it's transmitting, you know, how much power I use so they can charge me. But I can't, I don't know, maybe that's the ghost part of it, is you spending all that money and don't know where it's going. Maybe that's what it means by ghost.
A amp meter between the machine and the wall, and that would be the best way I know. But like I was saying before, the high frequency is just so you can start an arc with TIG, so you don't have to scratch the work surface with your tungsten and worry about tungsten contamination when you're starting an arc. That's all high frequency does with on DC. Now, if you're AC welding, it helps keep the arc going because it's harder to weld TIG with AC. It makes a god-awful noise if you do it. You can put a machine on AC, and it'll make a god-awful noise when you're welding AC, just TIG, without the high frequency.
Yeah, it is noisy on AC, but, we've had Lincolns for 30 years, and, you know, never had a problem at all. So I don't know that there is a problem. The engineer's telling me no. The book's telling me no. But, and I have put AmProbe, pulled amperage between the machine and the breaker, and it's both legs, 68 amps. So I don't know what to think, but I'll get to the bottom of it. That's all I can do, really.
Is that it welds properly Well, y'all have a good one. I'm gonna step out here. KK4FTU clear.
Amperage means, unless it's got to do with, as I said, reflected power due to things being out of phase. Also, with 220-volt circuits that draw a lot of amperage, make sure your feed lines are very, very, very short. As short as possible. I wanted to buy or beg or borrow or steal a plasma cutter for some work around here. But that, you know, to draw that kind of power, make sure you don't have a long feed line.
Yeah. I appreciate it, Glenn. And I forget the other call sign, but I appreciate it. I'll get it figured out. But I never heard of ghost amperage before. So we'll see what the other engineers got to say on Friday.
COS in the Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KO4NUE. But Chad, I think that's probably the best thing to do. And if they started talking about proprietary stuff, you know, you can't quite blame them for that. They've got their engineers and they designed this stuff to work a certain way, and they don't want to divulge any of their information out to somebody else that might use it and take away from their profits. So there you go with that. But anyway, I hope everything goes well with you. I know you spent a lot of time troubleshooting today and that sort of thing, but if it ain't broke, don't fix it. You know, I mean, it seems like it's broke, but it may not be. Talk to the engineer and let him try to explain it to you a little bit in better detail than the other one did. But that would be my thing.
Yeah. All right, well, it's enough of my problems. It's the way it is out here. It's something all the time. Somebody's stealing your coffee pot or something's broke. But we'll get it figured out one way or another. But anyway, Gary, it sounds like you got a good net going on, and I appreciate you talking with me for a few minutes. And I'll let you know what I find out, though. But at any rate, I'll see you tomorrow. Good deal. If not, that's okay, too. But 73s. And you have a good evening, sir. Tell Miss Joy we said hello. That's KO4NUE. I'm clear.
Well, look forward to seeing you for a little bit tomorrow. You and Miss Anna have a good evening left of it. They say the storms are supposed to come in during the night sometime and supposed to rain pretty much all day tomorrow, the last word that I saw. So we'll just have to wait and see what the weather does. But in the meantime, y'all take care. We'll talk at you a little bit later. See you tomorrow. Do we have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. Thank you, Stump. It's not too dirty. It's Mr. Larry, KK4JBQ over there in Greer. Larry, what have you and Miss Donna been up to today?
KI4DOS, this is KK4JBQ. Well, Gary, I tell you, I want to start off with this. I didn't know where I'd put it, but I want to start off with this. I don't know that everybody would agree with me, but I'm pretty sure most reasonable people would say that you are welcome in our home every Wednesday night. And I don't know how else to say it. This is largely why I'm in this hobby, to tell you the truth. Donna said it once. You've heard me say this before, but it bears repeating. That man is a real gentleman. And I have to agree with her. So just wanted to start with that. We appreciate you and what you do for us in service, but also in just having a nice visit. I can count on it. And thanks again. Well, Donna and I have had a rather easy day of it here. She's always on the run doing something for the church, or she's in her working life, she was an accountant. for a Fortune 400 company, I guess it is. And so the church is very fortunate to have someone that can keep their books. But this also includes the church's pantry. We have a food pantry. And also the church's preschool. So she's always keeping her books straight, you might say. And then, of course, she's the director of the handbell choir, and there's all that music side of things. She stays busy. What I'm doing doesn't take so long to explain. I'm retired. And I know you are, too, and you know what I mean by that. I do what I like to do, what comes to my mind, what needs to be done. You know, things just pop up and say, fix me. Or, you know, sometimes that's Donna's voice I'm hearing, fix me. I like to think that I can think through most problems and take care of it. But this ghost Amber stuff's got me stumped. I've never heard that phrase. I think that phrase, that way of referring to that function of the machine, is the proprietary thing. I don't think anybody else uses that. It may just fit the need to explain to a customer who's seems to be paying for power, and the power's not doing any work. Simply put, that's what it sounds like, but it may be something about this machine. And you wouldn't let some machine like that idle, would you? If you were in production, you'd be using that machine all the time. And it wouldn't be idle for long, and it wouldn't matter much. But if it's, you know, a one-man operation and you've got other things you need to do, there it is, it says idle. And if it actually is consuming energy, that's what it would say to me, then you're paying for it. And Chad's right to run that down. And Chad, I know it don't matter for much, but you need to talk to somebody else at that company. Well, we've all, maybe, I can't say all, but a lot of us have worked for us to take the company's side on any anything with the public, with customers especially. And I did that loyally and forever because they signed my paychecks, you know. But let's make some sense of it. Chad, I know you were, if you're listening still, you will run it down. I got faith that you'll run it down. And all the rest of us would like to know how it turns out. So, anyway, that's all I got to say. Back to you, Gary.
I agree with you, Larry, as far as Chad running the things down. Let me go back to the beginning. I thank you for the compliment, and I had one thought cross my mind, and it was an ugly thought, but I'm going to tell you what it was anyway. I thought, well, you know, you can fool some of the people some of the time. But I don't think you would fool Miss Donna hardly at all, being in the field that she was in and continues to deal with. I'm not being ugly when I call her a bean counter. My wife's a bean counter. She likes doing the books and that sort of thing. So I said, okay, there it is. Not that I can't do it or I don't know how to do it or anything of that nature. It's something that she wants to do. And if she wants to do it, I'm going to let her. You know, it's just like she used to like mowing the lawn. And so I'd let her mow the lawn until she couldn't do it anymore because of her back situation. So then, since after that, I took over mowing the lawn. So it all works out. We have a very good agreement around my house. We do pretty much what we want to do within reason, and can. If we can't do it, then we go on and call somebody else. I will say one thing, that physically I am still able to climb a tower and work on the towers and antennas and that sort of thing, but my wife asked me not to. She'll tell you maybe that she told me not to, but she asked me not to climb anymore because I'm not as young as I once was, and she worries about me a lot more. So I told her I would not do any more climbing. So I try to stick to that and keep her happy as far as that goes. But if push comes to shove and I got something, a problem that I can take care of, I'll more than likely take care of it myself, and then when I get through, I'll suffer the consequences. What do you think?
That's kind of like asking for permission after the thing's done. Well, yes, indeed. And I know where she's coming from, though. And it's true about all of us, how should I put it, aging people. We're not old, but we can't stop the aging. That's, one day it'll stop all of a sudden, but we can't stop it. And it isn't just the fall. It isn't just the damage that might be incurred in a fall. But it's how long it takes to recover. It's something that is, I think it's just a law of nature, that we don't heal as quickly or maybe as thoroughly, and that's an exchange you just don't want to make. Be here as long as you can be here. The rest of us will be in a terrible shape when you're not here anymore. That's just a fact. And with that kind of fact, I suppose I should step aside and let the next one stand up on the stump. It's been my pleasure. And it is a pleasure to have you in our home every Wednesday night. You take care, Gary. We'll talk with you later. KK4JBQ.
Say again. Larry, I do appreciate you letting me into your home on the radios on Wednesday nights, and I enjoy calling the net. I won't tell you a fib and say that I don't, because I do. Now, there's some nights I say, I wish I didn't have to call the net tonight, but there'll be something on the boob tube that I want to watch or something of that nature. But that's not very often. I enjoy calling the net and doing it for a while, and if I quit, I'd really miss it. I'm sure I would, because I get on here and get to talk to you fellas and ladies that check in with me, and I really enjoy that. It's a highlight of my evening. But tell Miss Donna I said hello, and tell her to get her some rest. I tell you what, she stays busy doing all that with the church, with the handbells, and the Sunday school and everything else, the pantry, and somebody's got to do it, and I think it probably does a really, really, really good job of it. But thank her for volunteering to do that, because that is not a paid position, as we all well know. But Larry, you take care. Good talking with you. I appreciate you hanging in there and talking with us a little bit. You have a great day tomorrow, and we'll talk at you a little bit later. Enjoy it there, young man. We'll do it again. We have additional check-ins all the way through the alphabet for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. Call KI4DOS. Anyone for comments, or is there anyone else that would like to make a comment? Call KI4DOS. That's about going to wrap it up this evening. I appreciate all you folks that checked in with me tonight. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling, to the best of my knowledge. Give him a good dose of writer's crap. And I'll submit my net report, and then we'll finish closing the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 71 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Come back as often as you can. Different net controller each night. Give them a good dose of Rider's Cram. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. We're thanks for all those folks checked in with us. We will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night and God bless. This is KI4DOS clear.
Call sign is where you are now, huh?
Two. Let's see. Four would be the designation here. My first call sign was Kilo Fox 6, Bravo Alpha Lima. That was from California. And then I moved out here and I wanted to upgrade.
When you came here, that's got to be quite a lifestyle change, I would imagine. I'm most recently from the New York City, Long Island area.
This is a big change. We moved out here in 04. I was out here in the late 70s when I was in the Navy. I did a lot of bass fishing. I actually made it all the way to Lake Hartwell. That's how much a guy and I aboard ship would love. He introduced me to bass fishing, and that was it, man. When we could get off the ship, that's what we did. But, yeah, I really should have never left, to be honest with you. I really like it out here.
Left California, I agree, and I never should have left New York. Or are you saying you came to California here for the bass fishing? Or maybe because California recently has become, I guess, too pricey?
I grew up in California when it was inexpensive. And I left because it was just, it was getting too bad out there. And it still gets worse today. My sister is the last one of my family in California, and she'll be moving to Idaho in February, and we'll be completely out of that state.
California's losing residents. They have a net loss of residents, I guess because they have a bit of a tax problem and a cost of living problem, and maybe a real estate, you know, cost problem. But that's been going on for quite a while. It's an affordable place, as was, believe it or not, New York City. You know, 40, 50 years ago, it was actually a very affordable place to live. But then what happened is that ordinary working class neighborhoods got gentrified. You know, rents went up. You know, cost of living went up, whatever. Because I remember, you know, back then, we had rent-controlled buildings. The rents could go up more than a certain amount, and it was actually an affordable part of the country.
I agree with you. There was a time when it was. Somebody made a prediction. God, I can't remember how long ago it was. I was still in California at the time. He said, eventually, California will be nothing but millionaires and illegal immigrants.
What's happened to New York City? You know, you have your millionaire areas and you have, you know, poverty-stricken areas. And it's really too bad. You know, 50 years ago, I lived in the Marble Hill section of the Bronx, which was a wonderful neighborhood. It was a nice working class, you know, very mixed, very diverse neighborhood. And it wasn't an expensive place to live. Because as I said, back then you had rent-controlled buildings. And also back then, you know, governments... My dad paid for everything on a government salary. You know, which back, even then couldn't have been that much. So, it's only after that... It's only after the neighborhood became gentrified that, you know, the billionaire class moved in and started buying up all the rent-controlled real estate.
I think there's one person in the right area with the right amount of money, and it can drive a lot of people out. But that's going to go on everywhere. Yeah, my sister was paying for a one-bedroom, one-bath apartment with homeless people outside. $2,200 a month.
The Bushwick area of Brooklyn is, you know, let's say it went from being not quite but almost a ghetto to being, you know, again, the investors are moving in, they buy up these properties, slap a coat of paint on them, you know, resell them for whatever. And it's becoming a, you know, so if it's, or Bushwick, or the other one was Far Rockaway, Queens, which went from being almost a near ghetto to being a very nice, upscale area, you know, I think the gentrification is the term. It means basically buying crap. And selling it at high prices to basically move affordable housing out of the neighborhood.
Lipstick. Yeah, there's an area over in... Ooh, I got to get going here pretty soon. There's an area called East Palo Alto in the San Francisco Bay Area. It's about 30 miles south. At one point, it was the place to live. And back in the late 80s, early 70s, it was the murder capital of the world. And what made it really bad was East Palo Alto was on the east side of Highway 101, and as soon as you got to the other side of 101, you had million-dollar homes. When I mean million-dollar homes, those were the cheap homes. Anyway, I'm going to have to go. I'll be clear on your final. Whiskey 1, Juliet Echo.
Echo, Kilo, Delta 2, Bravo, November Golf. Name's Glenn here, if you didn't catch my name. And 73s, and we'll see you later. Drop by any time. You have a good night.